And this goes out to people all over the world, wherever you are listening, including right here in our local neighborhood. It is 3 o'clock, well, 2:59, time for Arts Live and Local. I'm going to start right out with some music from my first, one of my first guests, and then be right back at you to let them talk to you. Thanks so much for being here. The number is 503-325-0010, your Coast Community Radio station. And hot, literally, apparently hot off the press, is Delta Halos.
Sunshine, go away. I'm feeling tired, I must say. Although you're here to keep me warm, I get the feeling of a storm. Though my mind's on your horizon, I must say, sunshine, please go away. Come back to me another day. I'll soon be better, than together we will stay. Sunshine, please come to me another day. Sunshine, please believe me, I'll be fine. If you leave me all alone, I will roam a world of gray. And it won't be too long, I will meet you at the dawn. Maybe tomorrow, just not today. Sunshine, go away. Come back to me another day. Your skies are so blue, but not enough for you to feel the way I feel today. Sunshine, shine on. I will meet you at the dawn. Maybe tomorrow, if not today.
So I am hugely, hugely impressed because I was totally unfamiliar with my guests, and except through email. And I certainly had never heard the music before. This is Delta Halos or Halos? How do you
Halos.
Halo. Oh, could be like halos like on halos. Top of your head.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. I wasn't even reading it that way. Okay, and with Delta Halos is my other guest, Acosta Noir. Now, that one I got, at least. Okay, and I have seen your name before. You've played somewhere locally, I think.
Kyle was actually here with me also back in May. We did a festival down at the Voodoo Room. We raised some money for rural music programs in, or music programs in rural Oregon middle schools.
And whoa.
So we had a handful of bands from Portland and Southern Oregon and Bend.
Was that two nights?
It was.
Okay. I'm remembering now, but I didn't get to indulge in any of it. And I'm looking forward. I've got your album lined up also to play. Who are you guys?
And mysteries.
Really? You are. And the fact that you did what you did, talking about raising money for rural schools, you've already won my heart 150%. So whatever you do, anything you say, you're fine.
All right.
So, right on. But tell me about this brand new album.
Delta Halos?
Yeah.
I released it digitally in October, and I'm just a musician is my day job, so that equals I'm broke.
How do you do that? That's very good.
So I have been raising the funds to actually get it pressed to CD. Not that there's much of a market for physical music these days, which is really sad to me because...
Well, there is here.
There is here, and I love that.
I'm raising my hand. Whenever I have guests and they say, go to my website or I can send you the digital files, and I'm going, I'm sorry, but I'm old-fashioned.
I like a physical copy because I like to look at it, hold it.
And this is quite lovely, too. Who did the artwork on the cover?
Her name is Caroline Wasik. She's a friend of mine from down. I'm from Southern Oregon. Josh is from Roseburg. I approached her. I had seen some of her artwork and said, hey, I would love if you would want to throw something together for my album coming out.
Did she do the back and the front?
Yeah, she did the front and back.
It was
all her, from her mind. She blew me away with what she came up with.
It's very nice. And, you know, she even got the names of the songs and numbered, even if they are in Roman numerals.
Yeah, yeah.
We old-fashioned people can figure that out. And yet it's beautiful. Just lovely.
Thank you.
That's a good reason to buy
the album
rather than do the digital.
Yeah.
So I feel good. And then it's the same copy on the album itself. So,
it's all you radio folk. You can't see it right now.
Yeah,
so
that's
come
right.
down You're to the show tonight and pick up a copy.
I'm holding it up to the mic so you can see it now, folks. So where in Southern Oregon are you?
Medford, Ashland area. Medford is home base.
You are really Southern Oregon.
Yes.
Okay.
But we both actually try and travel as much as possible. And
And you are Roseburg, but you guys have known each other. Have you ever played together?
We've played together a lot.
Yeah, we've got some history.
I went to high school in Grants Pass, and I had a punk band back in the day, back in the late 90s, and my drummer and Kyle were friends, so I met him through my drummer Steve, who's a bass player for another band down there called Old Mountain Dew.
Is there a lot of this kind of music? Well, I haven't heard your music yet, so I don't know if it's
we've
really seen a huge resurgence in this like modern roots revival kind of neo folk thing happen. A lot of friends of ours and musicians that we've all played with over the years who were real you know, hardcore punk rockers, metalheads, rock and rollers. We all we grew up, I guess. And I don't know what happened, something in the water, but we all found each other years later, and we were all doing this sort of like stripped down, more raw, genuine kind of stuff. And
delicious too. Again, I haven't heard Coast Noir, but when I put this first one on Delta Halo's eyes,
we set the bar pretty high.
That's not you, is it? And he said, yes, it is. And I was like, oh my.
I've actually been mistaken.
Where
people thought there was a duet.
It's
flattering.
It's something beautiful to be able to. Did you grow up singing or playing music?
No, just the same as Josh. I grew up with a.
But I mean,
my older sister.
In school, was there a chorus that you sang with or anything?
Nope, just a car stereo and a and a record player at home.
Okay.
I just sit there and play along to. Guitar is how I learned it. Just kind of picked up chords from friends here and there. I just started playing guitar like maybe 9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a, you know, coming out of more of the punk rock and edgy background of music, I kind of wanted to dig deeper and find out what they listen to. And it, you know, it all leads back to the blues and folk, I think, in my opinion. And so
you get gold stars. This is great.
Nice.
Were you familiar with this radio station?
Josh lined up an interview in
last
May.
Last time.
I have
last
a very
time.
Good friend here, Josh Baer.
Oh, okay. Right.
I've Over known at... him since about 2007.
Okay.
And he's always had really good things to say about KMUN. So.
Well, do you have, I know there's a Jefferson.
Jefferson Public Radio.
Public Radio. Yeah. Do they have shows?
They have a lot. I've yet to actually get into contacting them, which I really should. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes.
I've been meaning to. They have some great radio shows. And they play, very versatile, and there is a lot like of what you guys do as well.
Yeah, because they're community. Well, they used to be. I think they still are
they
community
still are,
radios.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's a great station. Yeah. And I really would like to get in on one of those shows.
I think in this area, I'd like to take credit for the, not me, but the station, the fact that we're here and the fact that we play local people's music, local, whether they live here or
right.
folks like
no,
you
it's
who are
great.
Coming
That's,
through,
yeah.
has encouraged more and more people to bring their music here, and all the restaurants have music now.
Yes,
and a lot of the you know the venues, the bars, etc., play real
yeah.
music rather than DJ
right.
stuff.
Right,
yeah.
and it's a great
stuff.
It's a great thing, kind of putting it back into the artist's hands, and that's you know what we're striving to do.
Well, is, and it when you play the way and sing the way you do, it's listenable. You know, the punk rock is for a particular audience,
right,
which is
right,
great.
Yeah.
But you're not gonna. You're not going
to
go with your friends and hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've found that a lot in a lot of the shows we've done together. We're able to vary our venues from coffee shops to mm-hmm. brew houses to mm-hmm. pubs to, I mean, Granges, house
right,
parties, whatever.
Right.
And we can do the stuff where we can turn it up and we can bring the energy a little bit more for the right crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be dinner music if you
mm-hmm.
need to. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really nice. And
which
yeah.
is a good
right.
way to introduce. I mean, I go into some of these restaurants and some of my friends are playing there, and I just kind of look around and I see there are people there who would probably never go to a music event,
yeah.
but they're hearing this music going, wow,
yeah.
what's that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What's that
yeah.
instrument even? They, you know,
right.
like a hammer dulcimer
yeah.
or something like that. So,
oh, yeah.
So, on these two albums, first on Delta Halos, who's on this album?
That is actually all me. I record with a lot more instrumentation. I do, it ranges from guitar, bass, drums, piano, harmonica.
Right, you are playing all the instruments?
I do all the instruments and then uh-huh. perform it live acoustically. But the violin that you heard is a friend of mine that I hired on. There's two different violinists on that album. On the song Sunshine that you just heard mm-hmm. is my friend Melissa. And she just came in and we just got a few takes recorded and
do you have
picked
a recording studio somewhere?
I don't. It's
they're both laughing. So
well,
there's a story here.
I actually that song that you just heard was mm-hmm. recorded in my old house and which had just great acoustics and
yeah.
I lived with an engineer, so we had our own
nice.
Home studio set up.
Yeah.
And then, but now I record at another home studio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's such a great. This day and age, you can have that technology. I mean, most artists that you hear and a lot of the bigger albums that are coming out now, you find out are actually being recorded by them, like in their houses. And
right.
in their, like,
right.
it's pretty cool. And
yeah.
So that was all recorded in a home studio.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's.
And where did you learn to play all the different instruments?
Just
pick them up.
Just playing them.
Okay.
Yeah, just being around music.
Okay, so well, when you said, you know, you just started to play guitar 10 years ago, but now I find out, yeah, but you're playing all those other instruments too. Did they come first or did everything come?
Well, I started on bass when I was about 12, I want to mm-hmm. say 12 or 13. And I would kind of dabble on guitar here and there, but I never knew how to play it. And then I mm-hmm. think around the time when I was like 18 or 19, I actually bought an acoustic and would kind of pick it up every now and then I started playing guitar in a band and
mm-hmm.
just
kept
went
growing
from there. And yeah.
And how about you, Acousta Noir,
yeah.
aka Josh?
same kind of thing. Yeah, there's no studio involved. This album, it's only got 5 songs, just a little mm-hmm. demo EP. Was recorded with a couple of cheap condenser mics and a pair of SM58s in my garage, and I. You know, it was done on an analog four-track, so I mean,
oh my goodness,
real ancient technology by modern standards.
You know, let's hear a little bit of that. Let's hear a little of Acousta Noir.
All right.
And how many instruments do you play? Is this a whole band?
Yeah. Well, for this is a solo project. It's
okay.
I do either a guitar or a banjo, and I sing, and then I play a kick drum and a hi-hat with my feet. So it's kind
no
of
wonder
a,
you're friends.
It's kind of a circus
yeah.
act.
I love it. It's wonderful. Here we go with, and what's the name of this piece?
The song's called When the World Explodes.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
It's a love song.
Of course.
Oh, it really is. Thank you.
the trees and we held tight in passages below. The truth I lay within the hope you gave us, that together all our pain we could unknow. Though I was torn from you, taken away, but I could not let your memory fade. Through the years I was cursed and burned because I could not let your love get away. I couldn't see what you needed of me to be the man you called home to your heart. I acted out in wasted earth and eternity only proved to push us farther apart. Oh, the years, they can't make me forget. As long as I'm still breathing, I got a chance to get to the place where I can hold your hand and let you know I will still love you even when the world explodes. Through the years we suffered on our own, our lives holding to their separate paths. I wish for you and I dreamt about the life we'd share if we ever got the chance. I sing the songs, I try to write the words that my heart is longing for you to know. I felt I failed where you shut me down, when I tried in vain to let you go. Oh, the years, they can't make me forget. As long as I'm still dreaming, I got a chance to get to the place where I can hold your hand and let you know I will still love you even when the world explodes.
Been listening to, still are listening to, Acousta Noir, who is my guest here on Coast Community Radio, Arts Live and Local. And did we tell you why these guys are here? We mentioned the Voodoo Room a couple of times, but we forgot to mention
tonight.
Trying
to subtly throw it in there.
Yeah, right. It's happening tonight. Tonight is is it about 9 o'clock ish? Is that what time is it?
Because it'll kick off around 8:30 or 9.
Yeah.
It'll be I'll be opening the show, Delta Halos, and then we'll have Acousta Noir and our friend Billy Mickelson, who is a phenomenal cellist.
Oh,
and he does I really don't know how to pinpoint his music other than just being flat out amazing.
Wow.
He plays the cello, has a looper pedal, does percussion on the cello, loops it, sings over it, gets the whole crowd will have their jaw to the floor.
Well,
every time I've seen it.
He's the kind of guy you can take a raucous bar room and have everybody sitting on the floor paying attention within 10 minutes.
It's pretty phenomenal.
The whole thing is the show. Yeah, so he also does this solo everything.
Yeah,
solo. Yes,
he tours a lot. He's been to Europe a few times.
Okay,
and he tries to spend about 3 months in touring northern and western Europe every year, and then he runs himself around the country. And I think he said, well, last time we talked to him, we just did a show with him, a couple shows with him last week, and. He said he's got 9 albums that he is doing himself or collaborating on that are being released this year.
Oh, he's actually recording all 9 in the next end of February.
Give me a range, age range of all you, of the three of you.
I'm the oldest. I'm 30. I'll be 31 tomorrow.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Happy birthday. How lovely. What a nice way to start your birthday.
Yeah.
And then
Billy is just about 6 months younger than I am.
Okay.
And
I'm the youngest.
The baby.
I'm 28.
Oh, right. So you're all in the same range, though, but you're doing a lot of stuff. And it's very exciting that you're able to. You do play with other people sometimes, though, as a band?
Yeah, last time I was here with the Spring Stomp that we did, it was with my 2-man band, Championship. And I do the same stuff I do in Acoustic Noir, but I've got another guy who plays an acoustic guitar and sings with me. And then I play an electric guitar instead of acoustic.
So, in a nutshell, what prompted you to do the idea of doing a fundraiser for rural music?
I was raised in a rural community. I was born in Southern California, and I moved to Cave Junction, Oregon, in 1988. And so I lived in Cave Junction for a couple of years, and then we moved to Melrose, which is outside of Roseburg. And then I spent a couple of years in Winston, and then moved to Grants Pass, which... I mean, if anybody's ever driven through Grants Pass, you know, it's not
it's a
boom
town.
Place,
yeah, right. Interesting characters.
I've got I have a younger brother and sister that are my brother is 11 and my sister is 13, and they both are musicians. My sister's a cellist, and my little brother's recently picked up playing the flute.
Lovely.
And so I have firsthand knowledge of what the kids are going through while trying to learn music and get that. You know, filtered into their education curriculum. And my mom was a high school teacher, still is actually. She took a few years off, but she has been teaching high school English, Spanish, and drama for, I don't know, like 13 years or something. And so I really see from an inside as a student myself and then an outside perspective what kind of struggles the kids are having when it comes to the arts. And I just think that, you know, I mean, if
a
I can do,
part of and kids
if I can do something to help, and then I would love to
try and
do as much as I can, because I know that's what set me off. You know, I had an acoustic. My dad left when I was a kid, and you know, one of the things he left behind was an acoustic guitar, and so I was about 12 years old, and I decided I was going to dig it out of the barn and learn how to play it, and that was what saved me. You know, I was in a really bad place, and. Rock and roll saved my life. So.
Well, I don't know whether you've seen the bumper sticker, Art Saves Lives.
That's exactly what it
does.
The music is a very powerful tool.
Absolutely. Universal language.
So,
folks, you can hear these two guys and their Third Seven.
I wish we would have remembered to bring in a CD of his, but.
Well, he'll have to leave it behind for next time.
Yeah.
And Delta Halos. Acoustic Noir and Third Seven, they'll all be at the Voodoo Room tonight. That's 11th and Marine Drive in Astoria. And it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic show, so I highly recommend it. And you can have a really exciting night tonight, because I have some guests coming on soon who are doing an early literary show or readings. And then after that, folks can come over to the Voodoo and hear the great music. So thank you so much for being here, for sharing your music, your inspiration. And I enjoyed hearing the do you ever go back and play punk any at this time?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, me and some buddies got together and we did a Misfits tribute band. We did 2 shows. And
there
it
you
was
go.
A blast.
There you go. Fell off the wagon. It's great. It's all part of the process. process, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keeps the creative wheels turning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Delta Halos and Acosta Noir. And again, at the Voodoo Room tonight, 8:39, and that's 11th and Marine Drive.
See you tonight, Astoria.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to put on a little bit of music, and I have a short interview with a guest who's playing right upstairs from the Voodoo Room tomorrow night, putting on a big show, and then my literary guests will be coming in. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. What I'm going to play for you right now is the Tomasian Trio, and they are featured tomorrow morning for Troll Radio Review. Please come and give your support. Be nice. Be kind. It's a virgin experience for me this time. Debbie's out of town, so I'm going to be hosting. And that's 11 o'clock upstairs at the Fort George. And Tomasian Trio with Maggie, of course, are going to be playing the music. And they're playing somewhere else, too. I'll let you know that later.
Just vamping. This one just vamps at the beginning. Then I can tell jokes while it's happening.
Taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, living on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I've got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me. Well, I love to live so pleasantly. Live this life of luxury. Listen on a sunny afternoon. In the summertime. In the summertime. In the summertime. Run off with my car, gone back to her ma and pa, telling tales of drunkenness and cruelty. And now I'm sitting here, sipping on my ice cold beer. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Help me, help me, help me sail away. Now give me two good reasons why I ought to stay. Well, I love to live so pleasantly. Live this life of luxury. Listen on a sunny afternoon. In the summertime. In the summertime. In the summertime.
Okay, so we know it's not the summertime, but it is certainly where I'm sitting. It is a very sunny afternoon. It is just gorgeous, folks. So I hope you're enjoying wherever you are. I brought in a wonderful performer, friend, community builder, known to many, many of us, and who's been doing some fabulous work in this area. Hi, Marco.
Hi, Carol.
I am so excited about tomorrow night's show.
Oh, me too.
We have, now, what number is this of Dragalution?
Well, it's the first one was for my 40th birthday, and I'm turning 45 this week. So,
no way!
I know, yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I've known you since you were 18. How did that happen? Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's fantastic.
It's amazing.
So, to give us, now, some people don't even know what that means. If you heard the way I said it, Dragalution.
Yes, it's our drag revolution.
All right.
And it's this time I'm switching it up a little bit. The whole, I'm having the cast perform as drag kings, so they're all men. So it's daylight with a supporting cast of men. The first half of the show is a toss back to Broadway. We open with Roxy from Chicago.
Oh, whoa. And, nice.
And then the second half is all original music and...
Whose music?
Well, I wrote the lyrics, and Tyler Little and Olaf did the music for it. And
wow.
So,
this is new. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, the last show we had, there were four original songs in it as well.
Okay. So, boy, they blend so well.
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware.
We're having fun.
Yes, you are. And so did the audience. We had a blast.
Thank you.
I don't know that I've been to all of them, but I've certainly, I was at your 40th and I was there last year. It's fabulous. This is happening, as I said, upstairs. So this is at the Columbian Theater.
Yes.
And it's not really necessarily upstairs. It's compared to the Voodoo Room. It sounds like that, but it's not. It's the large theater.
Yes.
And what time are you calling this?
We're going to be opening the doors a little after 9:30, and the show will start as close to 10 as possible.
Okay.
And as usual, I have Jello Shooter girls that will be wandering around, and we'll have... drinks throughout, 21 and over. It's $10 at the door. And people usually start showing up around 9 to get in play. And then that's really when the party starts.
Well, standing outside, and especially with this weather we're having, standing outside and enjoying, trying to figure out who everybody is, just chatting with each other is a blast.
It's so true.
So
it's my favorite part, honestly. Like I love seeing how many people get dressed up and just the excitement and being on that stage and just feeling like all that love and energy in that
now,
one room.
How many people do you have in the cast?
There are 12 of us.
Okay. And I know because one of the women just... apropos of something else mentioned, she'd been away and she came home and she worked her butt off, literally, and she learned 3 new dances.
Yeah.
And so this is real stuff. This is performance. I should introduce, for those of you who don't know Marco, that the reason I've known him since he was a kid is that Marco grew up here and went to high school here and then started working and then became inspired and went off to the University of
Oregon
and got not just a bachelor's but a master's in dance. And I'm getting weepy here just saying all these things. He came back to us instead of going off and, well, you did go to New York for a little bit.
I did, yes.
You did.
But my heart belongs here. This is where I like to be.
And we are so, so happy that you decided that, because he brought with him his heart for the community, his talents, his skills. He's also a chef and a lot of other things. And so check it out. If you don't live here, sorry, folks, but you can still get in. It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
And that's come on over at about 9:30, and the show begins at 10 at the Columbian Theater, 11th and Marine Drive, Dragalution. Don't miss it. Thank you so much, Marco.
Thank you, Carol. And I love Duke. He's so sweet. Oh, my gosh.
He is. He's sweet. I'm going to play you a little bit of music, folks, while I see. I just saw one of my missing guests dart in the door, so we'll see what happens. But I do have Lauren Kinnon, who is... coming to town February 2nd. She'll be doing her jazz show from New York City at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Let's have a listen to Lauren Kinnon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with a pomegranate smile, she led you underground. But she got a to hang in a prison while you walk the crooked mile. Sidestep on the brother, look on the
Well, you are listening to Lauren Kinnon, and we'll be playing more of her. The performance is February 2nd at the Coaster Theater. The number there is 503-436-1242 if you want to get your tickets in advance. And Lauren is quite fabulous. We're very excited that she's coming back. We are quite the Mecca. And speaking of Mecca, I've got a couple of writers here, and they are what's exciting. Not only are they wonderful writers, actually, Stephen, I don't know your work, so I'm presuming.
He's a wonderful writer.
Yeah, so I've read. I read about you, at least, and yeah. I have been experienced. Nancy Slavin is here, and Stephen Allred, and their third partner in the performance or the production, the presentation, that's the word, I knew it was a that they're giving tonight at the library right here in Astoria, which is has turned out to be a terrific venue, is Matt Love, who was on the show a few weeks ago. All three of them have in common that they represent independent Oregon presses. Bravo.
Amen.
We're right here at an independent community radio station.
That's
so
right.
We are very happy to hear about independent Oregon presses. I'm going to ask you to tell us what that means. I have the names of them. Nancy Slavin, Feather Mountain Press.
That's right.
And Stephen Allred is Dixon Ticonderoga.
Well, that's my zine.
Your zine,
my
right.
My book was published by Forest Avenue Press, which is a relatively new press in Portland.
So it's somebody else. It's not your independent.
It is not my press. Yeah.
But I did write down a note. I squeezed it in. You see that tiny writing there? Because I really enjoyed it. It said, Dixon Ticonderoga is a zine that explores the intimate relationship between divorce and pencils.
True.
Okay, folks, you can see this is going to be a good time tonight if you come to hear these guys.
Right.
I have no idea what that means, but I laughed out loud when I read it, so
good.
I thought everybody else would want to hear it too. So tell us what it means when we say independent press.
Yeah, well, I think it means that, you know, the world has changed, and what we used to call vanity presses, I think, have changed to be more of what my publishing partner, whose name is Elia Seely, who has lived and done lots of work in Astoria, you know, is more like artisan publishing. You know, people are making their own beer, they're making their own cheese, we make our own books, and we publish the kind of books we want to. When Elia and I got together to talk about it, you know, we just knew that we liked, and very much like Forest Avenue, you know, we wanted books about people and relationships, and, you know, our kind of tagline is strong books that soar. You know, there's no vampires, werewolves, zombies in our books. So we wanted that kind of publishing, and we can do it now because the world has changed and technology has made print on demand available and then e-readers and all kinds of options. So,
in my case, I was published by Forest Avenue Press, and that was a press started by Laura Stanfill, actually a former student of mine.
Oh, wow.
And a year and a half ago, part of this is about technology. It's certainly a huge paradigm shift. It's a lot like what happened in the music business, you know, a couple decades back, where the ability to produce your own CDs came into being a reality. And now, you know, any bar band in America can sell you a copy of their music because they can. That's what the technology has done.
Yes.
The print-on-demand technology that's out there now allows small presses to do this kind of thing on a low budget. We don't have to have warehouses anymore. you know, it's really kind of a green approach because you're just producing what's needed instead of, you know, massive amounts of books that are going to be, some of them are going to be remaindered and pulped and, you know, that's no good for anybody.
Right. Yeah, it's very exciting to be able to go somewhere, whether it's music or writing, and be able to meet, hear, experience, and then actually purchase from the person and know that it's all in a
It's all about community. Yeah. You know, it's it is that local one-to-one retail kind of politics, if you will, experience.
So, both of you, in addition to writing, teach or have taught. Is that right?
That's true.
I was grading papers this morning.
Are you still at the Tillamook Bay Community College?
My 14th year of teaching there.
14th year. Mm-hmm. Wow. You have
well,
stamina.
Actually, that's not totally true. I took a year and a half off to raise my child a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. And then you decided it was time to go back.
Yeah, I didn't want to lose my job altogether.
Yeah, right. You've also, Nancy, worked with a nonprofit to stop violence against women.
And I still do.
You do.
I do a lot of work in volunteering for them. And, you know, Steve and I were just talking about this a little bit, just the, you know, this is part of building community for me, too, is creating a healthier community where people are not bullied or oppressed or feeling that they don't fit in, you know, and that's a big shift here on the coast. And, you know, there's lots of great organizations like CAMUN that just puts out the word that, you know, there's open places for all people to be. So, yeah, I still get to do that work. I'm really lucky in our small town, you know.
Right, which is one of the glories. But also, there seems to be some kind of organic mix there, too.
Well, definitely. And, you know, that's very much what my book is about. I was really interested. I mean, I work, you know, specifically for a domestic violence organization, I was really interested in what happens to people after they get safe and, you know, how do we heal? That was really my interest. And that's really a lot of what the process for me of writing the book was about, discovering and then ultimately putting that out there. And we were just talking about that a little bit too. You know, we want our stories to be about people who
break through
and grow. Yeah. And, you know, they don't, their arc isn't downward, but upwards.
So. Yeah.
And so your book is Moorings.
Correct.
Now, did you just publish it then, or is it?
Yeah. And I published it in, I first published it as an e-book in 2012, and then I published it this spring. Ely and I both published our books.
Right. Well, Feather this Mountain. Sounds fascinating, too. Again, I just jotted down 23-year-old, and I understand it sounds as though a lot of it takes place in Alaska, which you have a lot of experience with also.
I do.
So, again, this is, I love
it. It's not an autobiography, though, but it is, you know, I cut out a lot of what I knew about Alaska as an Alaskan natural history guide. Mm-hmm. I took out a lot of description in the process of writing the book so that I could focus on the story.
The characters,
her journey,
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot more stories to tell.
I
can tell. Stephen.
Yes.
Tell us about your book.
My book is A Simplified Map of the Real World, and it's a collection of linked short stories.
Oh, yeah. I wrote Yowza.
Yeah.
I wrote that because it sounded fantastic. Okay.
Well, you know, it's this kind of hybrid form that's out there. Elizabeth Strout won the Pulitzer with a book like this called Olive Kittredge a few years ago. So this, in her book, you know, the same character appears in every story. Mm-hmm. In my book, characters recur. Mm-hmm. But there's not one character. You follow all through the whole thing, but you do kind of get to know, the town is really the character that you get to know. So it's a town I call Renata. It bears a physical resemblance to Estacada, which I live a couple miles outside of Estacada, but it's really a town of my imagination.
Can someone, when you call this linked stories, can someone actually just pick it up and go to story number 8 and read it by itself? Or is it better?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They all have to work as standalone pieces.
Okay.
10 of the 15 stories were published
as standalone
pieces.
Okay.
But there's this other layer that happens.
Nice.
And we've, you know, I don't mind. People should pick it up and read wherever they want. But if you read it from beginning to end, you do get a certain experience as you see how it weaves together.
Mm-hmm. And I understand, I don't know what this means, but I understand you're going to be doing a couple of workshops at Time Enough Bookstore.
That's
in
Olaka, right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Actually, one of them is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the hero's journey. The hero's
journey. What does that mean?
Well, I didn't think all this stuff up. It's Joseph Campbell.
Shows my ignorance. Okay.
Yeah, but it's basically a story structure that applies across time and genres and cultures. And Joseph Campbell figured all this stuff out a long time ago.
I remember him.
Yeah, he was a deep thinker.
So what? Who should go to your workshop?
Well, anybody that's working on a story or trying to start a story. It's really it's a workshop about structure. And there's still room in it. You can come tomorrow.
Okay, and there are two of them. Are they standalone workshops?
Well, ideally you would come tomorrow, uh-huh. and then I'm going to give you a little something to do in the week, and then you'll come back and present, and we'll talk some more a week out. And also on February 1st, the second session, afterwards at 6:30 at Time Enough Books, I'll be doing a signing.
Okay, a signing of your book.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell us about tonight, which, and by the way, for those who missed my show with Matt Love, I'll just mention his book is very relevant.
yes.
of walking in rain, but not today.
Not today.
But lucky us, we do have rain, unlike California that's going through a drought. And people are talking about drought here, but a drought here is like it didn't rain for 4 days.
I drove through a forest fire on my way up here. There's a forest fire down there by Arch Cape.
Incredible, isn't it?
No.
So, you know, I think that's really interesting. My book deals with that, Alaska, so obviously with the climate change, and this is our weird effect.
Oh, my goodness, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So I will not speak lightly of that.
We need some rain.
Absolutely. Well, and Matt covers rain from every possible way.
And could not have written that book this winter.
Right.
No.
It wouldn't have worked.
That's right. That's right. He wrote it in 2012. Right. It was the four wettest months of the second rainiest year in Newport, which
and
is where he was.
And it's an amazing book.
But he lives in Astoria now, so he will be joining you tonight. It's going to be a fantastic night, and it starts at 6 o'clock, I believe.
Yes. That's right.
This is at the Astoria Public Library, which is on 10th Street. I would just say 10th and Exchange. If you get yourself there, it's right there, and then you'll find the entrance somehow or other. And any idea how long it will be? Is it a couple of hours,
well,
I hope?
Well, it's billed on there from 6 to 8 o'clock.
Good.
So we'll each read a little, and then we'll have time to talk about this a little more about, you know, independent presses and what it means to run our own program.
Yeah, I'll get to read a complete short story from my collection.
Ooh, fun. Okay.
We're all going to do about 20 minutes, I think, and then there'll be time to visit.
And then Q&A, and then... So,
you know, we're right back at community.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hang out with us.
Now, Stephen.
Yeah.
Fess up. Where do you live?
I live outside of Estacada.
Okay. Where's Estacada?
Estacada is about 25 miles southeast of Portland on the Clackamas River.
Okay.
But it's still a small town, so he gets to fill right in here.
2,500 people in Estacada.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
You qualify. It's just you have to get, it's a little further for you to go. But apparently you're definitely making community here. Not apparently. You're doing tonight, and then tomorrow you're up in Ilwaco. And
and a week from.
And a week from as well. So good job, Nancy, bringing him in. Is that how, you know?
Yeah, Matt and I talked about it.
Good.
So he was on our top list.
Good. All right. Good. Where Jeff's absolutely delighted at making us richer and richer and richer. And for those of you who just want to be entertained, come tonight, relax in a very comfortable setting, and listen to the stories and the talk about independent presses. We have a couple around here, too, with Greg and Christy. And then...
And Matt's.
Pardon?
And Matt.
And
Matt has a press,
Which he's been for a long time,
too.
And then... but also, if you want to... see how you can fit into this new paradigm. This is a great opportunity. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you so much.
You bet. And I will definitely be there tonight.
Great.
So looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. That's Nancy Slavin and Stephen Allred, my guests. And Matt Love will be joining them tonight at the Astoria Library, 10th, and Exchange at 6 o'clock. Get there a little early so you can settle in and check it out. A little bit of, let's see. Oh, I have some Hansaraki music here because he is going to be playing with the North Coast Symphonic Band on February 23rd. He's also performing on January 31st, I think, he's going to be at the Sand Trap on the 31st. Have a listen, and I've got one more guest for you. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Thanks for being here, folks.
was in the month of January. The hills were all clad with snow. It was over hill and valley, my true love, she did go. It was there I met with a pretty young girl with a salt tear in her eye. She had a babe all in her arms, and bitter she did cry. Oh, cruel was my father.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to bring Hans down here, and you can tune in and hear lots more of him coming up. Again, he'll be Feb 23rd. Hans and Carrie Novotny will be playing with North Coast Symphonic Band at the Liberty. And a little bit sooner, January 31st, the two of them will be playing at the Sand Trap. Right now, my last guest is here with me, and that is none other than Kristen Schock, because although the exhibit is actually up,
it's
isn't
up
it?
It's up on the walls already, yes.
I heard a fantastic, actually someone said it over the radio. I can't remember who it was. Someone has been there already and said it looks fabulous, as it does each year. Au Naturel, the nude in the 21st century. This is the 8th annual. So we know how long Kristen's been here because you started it soon after.
Well, I've been here. This is my 10th year
here. 10th year.
Yes,
okay. But you didn't waste much time. You you put this into place, and it wasn't the easiest things because we're in a small town and a community
college.
There's
challenges, yes.
Not everybody, the newspaper, not everybody thought this was, you know, we could handle it. But in fact, it turned out to be a fabulous idea. And so the show is up right now at the College Gallery, which is all the way up 16th. Take a left, go as far as you can go, and the gallery is right there. It's a wonderful gallery. And the show is open until March 20th, but the fun part is the opening, the reception, is this coming Thursday. That'll be the 30th at 6 p.m. So tell us a little bit about the show, the juror, and some of the guests and
well,
stuff like that.
I was so thrilled that we were able to bring in Charles Froelich as our juror this year. He owns and runs one of the top galleries in Portland, Froelich Gallery.
I've heard his name. Yeah.
So he's fantastic, and I think it was due to his reputation that we drew so many entries, almost 800.
Oh my God.
Images from all over, including overseas, Germany and the Netherlands and Canada.
Wow.
It's an international show.
Yes.
So really thrilled at the response.
That means he had a lot of work to
he
do.
He had his work cut out for
as
him.
As good as your gallery is, it certainly isn't big enough.
Oh, we had to pare it down.
A lot.
Way down,
a
yes.
Lot. Yeah.
Yes.
How many, do you know how many?
So we have 57 pieces up in the gallery. Representing 47 artists. They're from all over the country, plus one piece from Germany and
mm-hmm.
a few from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so when was the cutoff for this? In other words, how much time did he have to deal with figuring out who, what, and when? And does Charles Froelich do the whole thing himself?
He selects all of the work.
It's strictly.
Yes, yes.
So he does it first with slides?
It's an online system called Cafe, so
okay.
It is entirely online.
Okay.
Yes, and so that was back in November.
Oh, okay.
November 7th was the deadline for submitting work. So typically, if anyone out there is interested in entering next year's competition, it'll be the first week in November. We don't have next year's juror selected yet, so I'm still brainstorming there.
But people want to be thinking about
yes.
it. If you want to be part of this, you know, it doesn't happen until February, but you need to get your work in way back. So what's special about this show besides everything?
I think this every year, but I think this year's is just so truly spectacular. I mean, so thrilled at Charles just did a fantastic job. And the work, it just all works together so beautifully. We have some pieces that kind of push the boundaries, although this is a 2D show of drawing, painting, and printmaking. We have a beautiful piece by an artist you might remember from last January, the Common Ground Show, Georgianne Waters, has a beautiful print that has been incorporated into the kimono and fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful piece. But we also have ceramic pieces that are paintings of figures on ceramic plates, which is really interesting.
So they hang.
They are hanging on the wall.
But they're 3D.
Well, 3D-ish, yeah.
But the painting is kind of 2D.
You know, we have a wide range of media. We have a couple of stitched pieces on fabric. We have a needlepoint piece. So really, you know.
I read something that he had really, because we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, jurors definitely have their own filters. And so
they absolutely do. So every year, you know, we have a different juror every year. Yeah. They bring their own aesthetic to the show. So, you know, it has a complete, even though it's the same theme every year of the nude, it's a completely different show every year. Even though we do have some of the same artists coming back, which is always really exciting.
Well, I read about Reed Clark, of course.
Reed Clark. So he's one of our locals.
Yes.
He lives part-time in Gearhart, based in Portland. So he's in again for like the fourth time, I think.
Now this is blind. When the juror chooses, he does not have the names of the artists.
Actually, he does have information visible, but, you know, he either knows the artist or he would recognize them anyway.
If he knew them, exactly.
Knew them. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. And, yes, Reed's been, besides this show, he's also done other shows in the area, too, which I really enjoy his work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you have someone coming from Dallas, Texas, for a workshop.
Yes, I'm so excited about that, because it turns out she was down in Dallas when I very first started teaching 20 years ago. Not a lot of artists who work with the nude down there. Mm-hmm. And so I always admired her work. I've never met her, even though she was in the same area. So I was thrilled when she was accepted into the show. She's coming up for a workshop a week from Friday. Limited spaces, but we do have a few spots open to the public if anybody would like to join us.
So this is the day after the opening.
She will be here for the reception.
Okay.
And the workshop is the next day, Friday the 31st.
From 9 to noon.
Yes.
And I wrote
gesture drawing,
the essence of figure.
Yes.
What does gesture mean?
Gesture drawing really is the key, I think, to any successful drawing from life. So usually very limited amount of time. They're done very quickly. So you're just trying to capture the essence of the figure, really, just as she put it, the sense of movement, the sense of form. So it really is an important key to working from life.
Well, that's exciting that you've got her coming and doing the workshop.
Yes.
And then, am I right that Don Copper is coming?
He's not coming. I wish he were coming. I don't think he can make it, but he's in the show again, so thrilled about that.
We had such a good time with him last time. He was here from Chicago. He came all the way. Several people have come from far-off places.
If everybody comes that have told me they're coming, we have quite a few coming from out of state, a couple from the San Francisco area, a couple from Texas.
This is a great opportunity, folks, not only to see the fabulous art, which you will be able to see all the way through March 20th, but to meet some of the artists. Again, the opening is Thursday the 30th at 6 p.m. at the college. If you need more information,
just give me a call, 338-2472, of course, 503-338-2472, or feel free to email me, kshauck, that's kshauck, at clatsupcc.edu. It's all posted on the website, too, so you can check out the press release there.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. And Kristen, what we didn't say is Kristen is the instructor for drawing, painting, and design up at Clatsop Community College. She has been a real boon to us in this community, and she is the person who created this exhibit. This is the 8th annual, so we are very appreciative of that. Thanks so much.
I'm really
looking forward to seeing the show. And folks, you can go up there now. If you can't be here on Thursday, you can go up there now. And most of it's for sale, too, isn't it?
Most all of it, although I snapped up a couple of pieces as purchase awards already.
Okay. Good for you. Okay.
Yes.
It's time to move on. And this is KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world.